You're listening to the audio portion of one of my videos. If you'd like to see the video, you can go to my YouTube channel or you can go to AboundingJoy.com.
Well, hey kids, thanks for joining me again today, watching the video. We have another question today. The question for today is it wrong for a Christian to get a tattoo? Is it wrong for a Christian to get a tattoo? Some of you may be thinking already, that's kind of a dumb question. Of course, it's not wrong to get a tattoo. What could possibly be wrong with getting a tattoo? But believe it or not, there are Christians out there who really do believe very strongly that it really is wrong. Did you know there's a verse in the Bible that says, "You shall not make any cut on your body for the dead or tattoo yourselves. I'm the Lord." That's Leviticus chapter 19. Wow. Did you know that verse was in the Bible? Sounds pretty clear, doesn't it? So you can see why some Christians might have a problem with it. It's right there in the Bible, huh? But hold on a minute. We need to think this through just a little more carefully, okay? Let's slow down. Because this might be a really good time for us to take a few minutes to make sure we understand something about God's Word, about His laws and commands, especially in the Old Testament. And I think what I'm about to say is pretty important, and I think it's one of those things that a lot of Christians get confused about. So I hope you'll really tune in, lean forward a little bit, try to get a good handle on what I'm saying here. Because like I said, a lot of Christians get confused because they don't quite understand what we're talking about here. So stay with me. There are several different kinds of laws and commands in the Old Testament. And sometimes when you're just reading it through, they'll tend to just get all mixed in together and maybe sound confusing. We have to be able to understand the really big picture of the Bible, and we have to be able to put things in context with what the whole Bible teaches, especially in the New Testament. For example, as we read through the Bible, we will find God's great eternal moral laws and commands. These are laws that are valid and true for everybody all the time. And a lot of times when people just use the words God's law, that's really what they're talking about. They're talking about these moral laws, these eternal moral laws. For example, you shall not murder, or you shall not steal, or you shall have no other gods before me. Those are commands from God that are true for everybody, all the time, everywhere. It's always wrong to disobey these commands. It was wrong for the Israelites. It's wrong for us. There was another set of laws that we sometimes call ceremonial laws or sacrificial laws. These were laws that pointed to Jesus and included, for example, laws about the priesthood, pointing to Jesus, who would one day come and be our great high priest. All the other priests just pointed to him. There are laws about the sacrifices, and those sacrifices covered their sins temporarily, but they were pointing to Jesus as the ultimate sacrifice, the sacrificial Lamb of God, the Bible says, who would take away the sins of the world. Those laws were temporary, and after Jesus came, they had served their purpose. We no longer have Levitical priests. You know any Levitical priests? No. We no longer sacrifice lambs. Have you ever sacrificed a lamb on an altar? No, we don't do that. Why? Because those commands are over. They pointed to the coming of Jesus. There were lots of commands in the Old Testament related to these kinds of laws, and now they're gone. There was another set of laws and commands that sometimes we call civil laws for Israel. These are laws that God gave Israel to govern them as a nation. God gave Israel these laws to make things in their everyday life go better and more smoothly, just for the people in general in the ancient nation of Israel. So these laws would be kind of like maybe our traffic laws or our tax laws or our zoning laws. You know, we need to obey those things so we can have an orderly society and things will run smoothly and people won't get hurt. And we don't necessarily need to try to keep Israel's civil laws because they were for a specific people at a specific time. They might not even make much sense for us today, but many of them were based on parts of God's moral law that we do need to keep, so it can seem a little confusing. Let me give you an example of that. Most of the homes in that day had flat roofs, and they had steps on the outside that went up to the roof. One of the civil laws that is given in the book of Deuteronomy in the Bible required that they had to build a little wall around the edge of their roof so that if somebody went up there, they wouldn't fall off and get hurt. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 22. Well, that's a civil law that doesn't relate to us today, but it's based on a moral law that definitely does relate to us today. And the moral law would be we need to love our neighbors, try to make sure they don't get hurt. You see what I mean? Well, there was another set of laws that God gave Israel for the purpose of making sure they stayed separate from the pagan people who lived all around them. God did not want his people, Israel, to be assimilated into those pagan people groups and lose their identity. God had a plan for Israel. He intended to give the world his scriptures through Israel. Eventually, he intended to give the world the Messiah, our Lord Jesus, through the nation of Israel. So they had laws to keep them separate. Sabbath laws, dietary laws, special holy day laws that included their feasts and festivals, circumcision laws, many other unique laws assigned to them to keep Israel separate. By the way, one of the Bible words for separate is the word holy. Have you heard that word before? Holy, it means separated. So sometimes we call these laws part of the holiness code. They were there to keep Israel holy or separated from the other nations. Here's an example of one of those laws. Suppose an Israelite family decided that they were going to kill and cook a young goat in order to have goat meat for supper. Nothing wrong with that. That was just fine. But God commanded them that they were not allowed to cook it in milk that came from the goat's mother. That's in Deuteronomy 14. And you might say, whoa, what? That sounds kind of weird, Grandpa. And it is, isn't it? It's very, very weird to us. But here's the deal. There were pagan people who lived around them who did that very thing as part of their pagan worship. And God just didn't want his people to be like them. He wanted them to be different, to be separated, to be holy. But today, the way we might choose to cook goat meat is just not an issue. You know, it's not relevant to us. It doesn't apply to us. It was to keep Israel separated. Now we have the scriptures. Now we have the Messiah. Well, in the same way, there was a command against getting tattoos. Why? Because there were pagans who did it as a way to worship their false gods. God didn't want his people to be like them. But again, today, that's not an issue for us. So, I think it's safe to say that the verse we saw earlier that forbids tattoos does not relate to us today. That was to help keep Israel separated. Okay, I know. I took the long way around, didn't I, to finally say that? But listen, I really do think that what I was trying to teach you is really important. I hope you got it. I hope you remember that. That's pretty important stuff when it comes to Bible study. Okay, well, if that command against tattoos doesn't relate to us, does that mean that you and I ought to just run right out right now and get a tattoo? Well, not so fast. Let's think about this a little bit more because there's some other issues and other factors that we need to think about here. For example, if you're still living with your parents, in most cases, you should still consider them to be your primary human source of wisdom and counsel. If you don't, it'll bring you harm. There's probably no other human being who loves you as much as your parents do. And there's nobody else that wants what's best for you any more than they do. I can pretty well promise you that. And anytime your parents say, I don't think that's such a good idea, you better be very, very glad that you have parents who are trying to protect you in some way. That means if you disagree with them, you should take a lot of time to talk with them about it. And I mean, listen, I mean gracious, submissive conversation on your part. I'm not talking about ugly arguments or whining or begging or talking about what all the other kids are doing. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about mature conversation. You know how to do that. Sometimes I think God gives parents what we might call godly intuitions, maybe, or godly hunches for their kids. And I think it's really foolish to ignore those things. And obviously, if your parents strictly forbid it, if they say, no, no way, well, that settles it. I hope you understand that. Your decision is made. God says very clearly, children, obey your parents. So there's one issue. Another issue that you need to ask is, will this tattoo that I'm wanting to get, will it really bring glory to God? Or do I just want it because I think that somehow it's going to make me look cool? You remember 1 Corinthians 10:31? Whatever you do, that would include getting a tattoo. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You have to think about that. Here's another practical thing that could be an issue. I think it could be important. Maybe hard for you to appreciate if you're very young right now. But the question is, how are you going to feel about this tattoo years down the road? It's hard to think ahead, isn't it? But we need to try. For example, there may be a job someday that you want really badly. And the bosses or the employers, the ones who are going to hire you, they may see your tattoos as some kind of communication of rebellion or of immaturity. It might hurt your chances of getting the job you want someday. You have to think about that. And there's something else. Sometimes there are even some health and medical issues involved. Did you know that some people have gotten some pretty serious infections when they got tattoos? You could. Others have had allergic reactions to tattoo ink. That's no fun. Sometimes tattoo pigments get into the lymph nodes in your body and cause some pain and problems. That's no fun either. And if, and I hope this doesn't happen, but if in the future you ever got melanoma, some kind of skin cancer where you have a tattoo, it could be very difficult to discover it and diagnose it. It could be a problem. Something to think about. And you put in that mix the fact that God says in 1 Corinthians 6:19 that your body is not really yours. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own, God says. You got to think about that. We have to take care of the Spirit's temple. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God. And I think, this could be another issue for some of you, I think it's also true that sometimes tattoos are kind of expensive. You may know more about that than I do. I've never priced one. But you need to think about it. You might want to ask yourself whether or not God might have a better way for you to use your money than tattoos. As for me, personally, well, so far I've made it nearly 73 years without a tattoo. And so far I haven't missed having one at all. I mean, I don't feel the least bit deprived or left out. But I don't know, maybe I'm just being naive. Maybe I'd really like myself better with tattoos, I don't know. You know, now that I think about it, it might be pretty cool to get some eyes tattooed on my eyelids right there, like this guy, so that Nana would think I'm studying or reading when I'm really taking a nap. Hey, that could be pretty cool. Okay, I think I've gone off the deep end now. But seriously, there really are several things to think about. And just like every other decision you make in life, and I hope you learn to make good decisions. We may have a different video to talk all about that in more detail later. But it's always good to pray for God's wisdom and get some good godly counsel. And you know what I'm talking about, counsel from people who love Jesus and love the Bible. Well, I hope that helps. I love you guys. I pray for you all the time. Stay in the battle, okay? Let's pray right now. Father, I thank you for my grandkids. And I thank you that you have a purpose and plan for them that they don't understand yet. But it's awesome, and I pray that they would not let anything mess that up. Lord, I know we have an enemy who would love to mess it up. And I know we have weaknesses, we all do, weaknesses of our flesh, weaknesses that come about because the world is tempting sometimes. And Lord, sometimes we just don't think well. So I'm praying for my grandkids. I pray you protect them from bad thinking, stinking thinking. I pray you protect them from being deceived. Protect them from having the wrong priorities. And help them, Lord, to understand in the depths of their beings how much you love them. And Lord, help them to learn to love you back. Help them to learn to love you a little bit more with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help them to learn to worship you well. Help them to learn to bring you glory. Lord, I know if they can do that, you will give them more joy than they ever thought possible. So please bless my grandkids. Help us all to make good decisions. We all need you every day. Lord, none of us have figured it all out. We need your leadership. We need your guidance. We need your wisdom. And we ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, kids, thanks for watching the video with me today. Next up, just how important is it to forgive someone if they've hurt me really badly? That may not have happened to you yet, but it's probably going to sooner or later. And God talks about forgiveness a lot in the Bible. We need to understand how this works. So stay tuned.